the event or the phenomenon that we celebrate today is a fascinating one, Our Lady of Guadalupe. There are many different approaches we could take to this feast. Even historically, it's a fascinating one. It takes us back to 1531, so age of discovery, just 10 years after Magellan landed here in the Philippines. The Spanish were in Mexico. You know the story of the conquistadores. They were motivated by God, gold, and glory. And it was very hard to tell how much one of those would have been more important than the other, especially in 16th century Spain. I mean, they were a very Catholic nation, but also a very aggressive nation, dominating the world with the Armada. And it was an age of just extraordinary new possibilities in the world. So that's the historical context into which Mary appeared to St. Juan Diego in 1531. December, first appearance was December 9, which is now the feast of Juan Diego, and then the gift of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe was really given on December 12. So that's feast day now of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Historically fascinating, I don't know how the secular history accounts will talk about this. Maybe they completely ignore it, but there's no denying the extraordinary phenomenon that took place, or cultural, social, religious phenomenon that took place after Mary appeared in 1531, because within a few years, millions of people converted to Catholic faith. It was like a new Pentecost every day for 10 years, something like that. Just an extraordinary change in the cultural, religious climate of the New World. And that's why Our Lady of Guadalupe, to this day, is honored in Mexico and in Latin America in general with such extraordinary fervor. She's clearly the queen of Mexico. Even among people who don't have any faith at all, they all have an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe somewhere in their house. So it's a historical phenomenon. We could also see it, even looking at it historically only, as the turning point in the conflict between Western culture and Native culture. You know, the Spanish, when they arrived in Mexico, they found the Aztecs. I know it's politically incorrect to say this nowadays, but the Aztecs were dominated by evil, and they were brutally terrorizing all the other tribes of that part of the world with lots of depraved practices. One of the most shocking was human sacrifice. They used to sacrifice, mostly men, but a lot, thousands and thousands of people, cut out their hearts and offer them still beating to their gods. So when the Spanish arrived, maybe they came for gold, maybe they came for glory, but when they saw evil dominating the peoples, they also said, hey, we can't let this go on like this. So that was part of the motivation for the fight against the local religion or religions. Of course, all the non-Aztec tribes were very willing to join the Spanish in fighting against the Aztecs because that was to their advantage. So it's fascinating to see how God enters into the complexities of historical developments. I suppose we can reflect on that a lot more, but let's leave that aside for now, the battles. We take in Anuwim, a liturgical approach to things, and this is the fourth Marian feast day in 5 days. Well, actually, four if you count Juan Diego, third at least, because Immaculate Conception on December 8th, Our Lady of Loreto on December 10th, and then today, December 12th, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So we're being liturgically immersed in a Marian spirit, which is fitting for Advent, of course. Mary, who shows us both the ways of God, who's the kind of the mirror reflecting to us how God works, but also shows us how to respond to God, how to cooperate with his plan. When it comes to Mary, of course, she's first of all a recipient. That's when we celebrated the Immaculate Conception. We weren't first of all celebrating something Mary did, we were celebrating something that God did to preserve her free from sin. But as soon as we add Mary's response to the equation, we see the beautiful interplay between God and man. God and man. God's initiative, man's response, or in this case, Mary's response of a yes to God, and then God taking the next step and making it possible for her to be the mother of Savior and also mother of all his disciples. So this is something that is really key to Advent, because Advent we celebrate God coming. Regardless of whether we're ready or not, God is coming. But then we're also celebrating our preparation for God to come. So this interplay between God and man, God's will, man's will. We have two optional gospels today. One is the Luke's account of the Annunciation, and the other one is Luke's account of the Visitation. I read the Visitation because we read the Annunciation on December 8th. I said, oh, we just read it. But if you put these two gospels together, which are also the first two joyful mysteries of the Rosary, we can see this again. God's initiative, man's response. God's initiative at the Annunciation, he just decided when he was going to send his angel Gabriel to Mary. Mary didn't know that was going to happen. In a certain sense, you could say she had nothing to do with it. But of course, she had everything to do with it because she's the one chosen. And then she receives the message, she tests the message, she says yes to the message. And then when we get to the Visitation, we see Mary taking the initiative based on what she had received, the good news she had received, and the conception of the Son of God. She takes the initiative to run into the hill country and bring the good news to her cousin Elizabeth. So is it God doing it or is it Mary doing it? It's both. It's God doing it, but Mary cooperating perfectly. When we get to Our Lady of Guadalupe, we see, because we honor Mary because she's the one who appeared to Juan Diego, as if she took the initiative to show up on the hills, on the hilltop, and encounter this humble man, Juan Diego. But of course, that was God's will. God's will that his mother would evangelize the peoples of Mexico. Start a new era in the new world. That was God's will. It was God's will that the message of the gospel would come and bring light into a part of the world that was dominated by darkness. This is part of the reason why it's appropriate to read this passage from the book of Revelation on this day, because this passage from Revelation chapter 12 tells of the conflict between the woman clothed with the sun and the huge red dragon, symbol of Satan. Mary and Satan are in a conflict that goes way earlier than the Aztecs in Mexico. It's the story of conflict between good and evil, or at least of the human part in that conflict, because the huge red dragon opposed God first. He rejected the will of God, And he and his, the fallen angels rejected God and started this battle. And then God's response was, well, I'm going to overcome you, but I'm going to do it through the sacrifice of the lamb. And the way this lamb is going to enter into the picture is through a woman. And that's where we get Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. For our sakes today, by the way, Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know, is a pregnant image. The native peoples, as soon as they saw the image, knew this young royal maiden was pregnant because she was wearing the symbol of a pregnancy. It's a little ribbon, kind of a sash. So that was, it was obvious to everybody who saw that image that this is the Mother of God. It comes from heaven. She's pregnant, so she's pregnant with God. I mean, that it didn't need to be catechized very much after that. They believed it right away. They said, here she is, Mother of God. Anyway, for our sakes, I think we can reflect on or ponder just a little bit further today. This will continue throughout Advent. This marvelous cooperation between God and man, because God is taking the initiative to enter into our history too. He doesn't just act in the time of Jesus or in the time of Juan Diego. He acts in all time. He has entered into time. So that means he's acting in our life here, 2022, December 12th. He's taking the initiative. The question then is, well, who's responding? Are we responding? And how are we to respond? How can we make a yes to the will of God today? Because when we do, the victory of the Lamb is applied again now. This is so important for us. I've been speaking many times about this war in Ukraine. It's kind of the most dramatic image of the troubles of our times, although there's lots of other things we could use. But since Pope Francis broke down in tears a couple of days ago, did you see that in the news? That was December 8th, a Feast of the Immaculate Conception. He's making a prayer to Our Lady because it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And he said something like, I wanted to be able to thank you for establishing or reestablishing peace in Ukraine, but I can't because this terrible conflict is still going on. And he got overcome with emotion, started to cry in front of, I don't know, hundreds of people and live television and everything. He just couldn't go on with the prayer. And so the reason I bring this up is because what could we possibly do about war in Ukraine or about any other war? What could we possibly do about, you know, the evils in the world or the people suffering from disasters of all kinds? Well, we can cooperate with God. We can be part of the human cooperation with the divine will. And when we do that, we become part of the victory of God or the establishment of the reign of God in the world. So it's very important that we pray for peace, that we pray for the sick, that we pray for conversion of peoples who don't know the Lord, that we pray for establishment of just social orders, that overcome the political and social injustices. Prayer is fire. It's power. So I think it's important for us to use this feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe to acknowledge once again the part of every little person, every little Juan Diego, in the plan of God for the establishment of his kingdom in the world.